Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
I had a Facebook message. I thought it was Jacob. Nope, he still hasn't read my stuff from earlier. So I guess we're just going to start with Adam. He'll show up when he shows up. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
There he might be.
Oh, is he joining finally?
Yeah.
Man. We're like 10 minutes into this interview, Jacob.
Thanks for having me on. I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's got to get... he only has so much time, and you're just holding...
All right, first off, I wasn't holding anybody up, but of course...
Yes, you were. You're 5 minutes late.
All right, first off, shut up. I know you guys start without me anyway. Second...
You're correct.
I know I won't be able to, get through any of this without you guys giggling as to, why I'm late. So... whatever, I don't
care. Now I gotta know, why are you late?
Because it's been like a month since we've been on.
Yeah.
So shut up. All right. So anyway, no, I didn't forget. Anyway, so for the fellow from Con Games who's totally unfamiliar with how I have my setup, I have to hook a headset into my phone. I use an iPhone, so I have to have a special dongle for it.
Right.
So
that I gave him, by the way.
Oh, shut the fuck up. I've already had to buy him twice, so it negates it. Anyway, so it's because it's been a month, oh, okay, it's our final show for the year. I'll unplug the dongle, put it on my desk, and take my gaming headset downstairs. Well, I get up to my desk, and I'm just like, where the fuck is the dongle? So now I just spent the last 10 minutes trying to find, because I couldn't find my dongle. Get your giggles out.
I can't even make fun of you, because I too have had to try to track down that very same dongle when I need it.
I laugh because he should know better than to play with his dongle.
And on that note, what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. What you just heard was Jacob Garner telling us why he was late today. Aki is here as well. And then the mysterious voice you heard in the background, Kevin Hanley from Con Games. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, so well. Thank you guys so much for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you on. You are officially here to talk about a brand new NES game, I guess. But we're going to find out what's going on with Jacob first. Jacob, what the fuck is... so many questions, so little time. Just what is going on with you?
Wait, what?
You.
What do you mean, me?
Like being late and losing your headset and losing your dongle. You good?
Because he played with his dongle. You don't play with your dongles, people. Just leave them alone.
What did you do over break, blind, Jacob? Though. Did you do anything fun?
Honestly, do you guys want to know what I did over break? I played the.
Is it anything interesting?
In my opinion, it was. So, fun fact: I ended up claiming my game of the year too early again. And of course, it's really interesting because this time I claimed it the end of December. So that should be good, right? No.
Yeah.
So as it turns out, I've been playing the absolute shit out of Disney Dreamlight Valley. I am dead serious. It is by far the most chill game I've ever played. It's an MMO experience without the other assholes online. And I'm just I'm just mining away for gems. I'm selling shit to Goofy. I'm telling him, here, man, buy all my rocks that I dug up. I'm reclaiming the valley or whatever. I don't freaking know. It's just the most chill thing. And I swear to God, I've been playing it all for the last 30 days. And I'm just and I booted it up. On the very first night that I booted it up, I was oh shit, I called my game of the year too quick. So
what was your game of the year, to remind everyone?
Wow, you don't even know what it is. Damn.
I don't remember what I called. Yeah, because they just don't even matter anymore. They just don't matter.
It's been Disney like Dreamlight less Valley. Than a month. Holy
so Kevin
shit.
Hanley of Con Games, how are you doing
tonight? Not as well as that guy.
How was the past month of your life? Was it is fun filled and filled with Disney Dream Valley?
No Dream Valley, but the fact that I
you're missing out
have a game on the Switch now. Dream fulfilled.
Well, you do have a game out on how many platforms is it out on? The game is called Nescape, so it's on the NES first of all, which is cool in itself that it's the year of 2023, 2022, and we're still getting physical NES games.
Yeah, so it came out on the NES back in 2019, and I've partnered with 8-Bit Legit to release it on Xbox and Switch. That came out this past Friday, and then it's in development for the new PlayStation, so hopefully this year it'll be out on PS5.
Sweet.
But not PS4?
That's a question for my for the publisher. That's beyond me.
Okay.
PS4 might not be able to handle an NES game.
I sure hope it's on both.
I would imagine it would be, but for the people who don't know what Nescape is, tell us, what is this game?
So my friends and I are pretty fanatical about escape rooms. Every year for my birthday, my friends know what's up. You know, we're going to an escape room. So back in 2019, after we finished the escape room in July, I was like, man, I really wonder if I could bring this experience to the NES, because I've been developing games for the NES since 2009. So I sat down with a couple of my friends, and we sort of fleshed out an idea, and we released an escape room experience. It has some sort of point and click. I'm drawing a blank on the word I'm trying to find. Influences. There it is. Point and click influences. But yeah, it's just an escape room game filled with puzzles, as many puzzles as we could cram in. And like I said, it came out on the NES back in 2019.
This is going to be my opportunity to say right up front that I'm apparently too old for escape rooms, because I fired up the game last night. I was like, all right, I see a lot of people have completions on this. It must be a fairly simple, straightforward game. It's on the NES. I turn it on. I go the full hour and I turned on a fucking light. That's all I did. I couldn't figure out a thing at first. And then when we got the code, we were supplied a walkthrough for people who are like me and couldn't figure anything out. And I saw, like, I knew that there were symbols on the walls. Wait, behind the pictures.
Whoa. So when you got the codes, you were also given a walkthrough and you didn't tell us?
You needed one?
Oh, man.
Yes.
You didn't ask.
You didn't tell.
Hockey didn't ask.
I beat the game with just over 8 minutes.
I left. Can't help it that I'm not as wonderful as Hockey.
I know, right? I'm perfect.
But yeah, I knew that there were the symbols behind the pictures, and I knew that there was the lock, but like the pictures, the symbols didn't seem to translate well enough to that lock for me to put the two and two together. And when I read that on the walkthrough, I'm like, I'm so stupid. Like, I tried brute forcing that thing, and I
honestly, that's one of the hardest puzzles in the game, so don't feel bad at all.
Yeah, I think that one took me like 10 minutes. I knew that they had to do with each other, but I couldn't quite figure out the order of them. And once I did, I was like, oh no shit. I was so ashamed. But after that,
Hockey is a pro at escape room stuff. Like, she got, was it Escape Academy, and you just destroyed that game. So, like, how did you think this game was for an escape game on the NES?
It's pretty good. Not to say it's not without some issues, personally, but I think overall it's really good. There are some audio cue puzzles, and I didn't like those, but I don't have the best of hearing, so those were
it's not
really
you.
Difficult for me.
It's definitely not you.
So I actually went and found a YouTube walkthrough to help me through those, because I couldn't hear what they were trying to say. But otherwise, lots of the other puzzles were really well done. Some of them were confusing, especially after you solve a whole bunch of stuff and the room changes the first time. It gets complicated because you're like, okay, now what do I do? And it takes a little while to figure that out. But once you get in the groove of things, this is really good and really quick. I'm sure if I replayed this, I could probably beat it in like 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, look at you bragging.
Hey, I have to.
It's, dumb fucks
it's one of the few things I'm good at. Leave me alone.
You are really good at escape puzzles, and the fact that you pretty much handled everything but the audio puzzles in this game, which I honestly at first didn't know there were audio puzzles, and when I read that, I was like, oh shit, Aki's going to hate me for this.
Oh yeah, I hated those. Those were so hard. Because they're all... Cause I don't know if anyone remembers the brainstorm green needle thing. Please tell me someone here gets what I'm talking about. Please.
I don't, sorry.
Oh, there was an old like Transformers toy or something, and the battery was dying, and when they pushed the button, some people heard green needle and some people heard brainstorm coming from it because it was so garbled. And I'm honestly shocked none of you know what I'm talking about.
I'm surprised Jacob doesn't know what you're talking about if it's a Transformer.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, it was after that, is this dress gold and white or blue and something else or whatever the hell it was. It was right around that time period.
Oh,
so all of it's really garbled, so it was really hard to hear what it was saying.
Yeah, voice wasn't that advanced on the NES day.
No, and that's one of the puzzles that was definitely better in theory than in practice. Yeah, we made some choices when we were coming up with the different types of puzzles that we wanted to do. And it wasn't until late in development when we actually tried to incorporate the actual audio. And it just, you know, like you said, it didn't turn out nearly as good as we hoped. But by that point, it was kind of too late. So these are the choices we have to live with.
Are there ways to patch over a new sound effect? Are you able to re-record and patch that in, or I don't know how the programming works converting an NES game to current console, or if it's even possible to inject a sound file like that into an NES ROM. I don't know how that works.
I don't either. That's something that 8-Bit Legit did when they ported it over. So that's never a discussion that we had, and we probably should, because it would make the game more playable for sure.
Yeah, I think three or four of those puzzles.
Yeah, three, and that's people's main complaint with the game is the audio cues, and then almost everyone hates the slide puzzle.
Which one was the slide puzzle? Which one was the slide puzzle?
The end of chapter one. You open up a chest, and there's 9 pieces that you have to slide around.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm not very good at those. That took me like 15 minutes just to figure that out. I'm not good at those. You're either good at those or you hate them. Those are the only two options.
Yeah. I'm not good at those puzzle. Either. I used the guide for that puzzle, and it still took me 3 times because I kept screwing up. Yeah.
I just had to figure it out, and it sucked. Because it took me forever.
I'm impressed that you beat the game.
And it was my first try.
That's super impressive.
She's good at this stuff. I told you. Like when we get escape games in, I know who to go to with those.
I love those games. They're so fun. My favorite puzzle in it, honestly, was that old ball puzzle where you put it on the machine, you move it around.
Oh, the marble puzzle.
I loved those when I was a kid. Those were so fun. Seeing one of those in video game format, oh, I loved it.
Oh, man. That's amazing to hear. Thank you.
I got nostalgic with that one, too. That was a really cool puzzle to see in the game. I didn't know how it would translate. Victor, thank you for dropping 100 biddies. Thank you so much. Good to see you in chat again. You should use, if you have more biddies, you should convert them to Microsoft points and buy an escape on the Xbox or on the
Only
Switch.
Only $5.
Yeah. What made you price it so low?
Because for a few reasons, I know puzzle games aren't everyone's cup of tea. So I wanted to sort of price it at a point where, people might impulse buy it more. But also after you know the game, there's not a ton of replayability, and if you know exactly what to do, it's not a long game. So I wanted to make it as fair as I could. So $5 felt like a good spot for it.
I think it's an awesome price point. Anytime I see a game that's $5 in the store, I'm like, I am buying that. Well, it's a weird Japanese puzzle game. I'll fucking learn it. It's $5.
Yeah, we're hoping that was the right choice.
I think it's a good idea.
The only problem when you do that, Joe, is you have a library of over like 5,000 games and you've played maybe 20 or 30 of them. 30. It's okay when other people do it. You need to stop doing that.
I just love the extreme that I've played 30 of them. Across 10 years of this show, I've played 30 different games.
Are you going to tell Aki that she's wrong?
No.
Yeah. Exactly. Honestly, I was highballing that as much as I felt like I could and got away with
it. The funny part is I just like got a message on True Achievements. It's like, congratulations, you've played 2,500 games. I'm like, oh, I didn't know I played that many.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What, do you just turn them on and then turn them off and it counts as a played game or something?
I don't do that with games. I don't. Yeah, you know, they have what, bean diving, where you get one achievement intentionally and stop playing. I don't do that stuff. When I fire up a game, I intend to play it. Like whether it's a 10-hour game and I put 5 hours in the first time, or whether it's an hour escape room and I put an hour in and fail, which I did. So
you played it.
So what got you started in making NES games? Like, why did you decide I'm going to go with NES instead of modern stuff?
Well, I grew up, you know, with the NES, and it was probably the first system that I really fell in love with. I mean, these were games, compared to the Atari and Intellivision, like, these games were full sort of experiences with storylines. So I graduated college, and started collecting games. Like, I, you know, the internet was in its infancy. I decided to look up, oh, I wonder how many games are on the system, and found a list of, I don't know, 776 or something. And back then games were cheap to collect. So I started collecting them and I joined a forum of enthusiasts. And right around this time, coincidentally, someone started posting tutorials of how to program for the NES. And I thought, huh, I've kind of always wondered how games were made. And I didn't really have any programming experience, but, sort of dove in, took it piece by piece, and I don't know, I've stuck with it ever since. You know, started out with smaller projects, but I don't know, my love for the system has never died, and the community seems to grow with each passing year of people who are learning about these NES homebrew games. So I don't plan on going anywhere. And people look at assembly language, that's what I program the games in. They look at assembly language and think, wow, that's really an archaic language, I can't believe you know, bother with that. But it's really all I know, so I don't know any better.
That's really cool. I'm looking on your page, congames.com, and I'm seeing a whole bunch of games over what, like over a decade now, 15 years close to.
Yeah, so I think it's been, this is the 14th year I've done it since 2009.
How many games have you released so far?
It's embarrassing to say I've lost count. Yeah, for a while I was doing pretty well doing a game a year. But the past 5 years or so, since my sort of sights have been set on doing, you know, larger and larger projects, and I have a, you know, a professional full-time job on side of that, so I can't devote quite as much time as I used to be able to. Yeah, I've been trying to release as many as I can, but they take time for sure.
How did you go about getting it on the modern consoles? What were the steps you had to take to, like, did 8-Bit Legit approach you? Or did you approach them? Were you looking for a publisher to convert the game over to current gen consoles? How did that all work out?
Yeah, after we released NESCAPE, I pronounce it NESCAPE, but NESCAPE, you know, people pronounce it how they want, kind of like the system itself.
I would go with an NESCAPE too, because I call it the NES, but some people,
yeah,
like, I don't like, I can go with NES. I can understand people saying, oh, the NES. SNES
sounds
doesn't
weird to
work
me.
Right for me. SNES just sounds weird when people say, yeah, that.
For sure.
Like, that's the Super Nintendo to me. SNES. It's the Super Nintendo.
No, it's the
Super
SNES.
Nintendo.
You're wrong.
Super Nintendo.
Oh, you're both wrong. Blasphemers.
So any escape.
Yeah, so after we released it for the NES, it was probably the first game that I felt was good enough to warrant release, you know, in a sort of in a larger market. So 8-Bit Legit, one of the main guys that heads that up, his name is Tim. He actually comes from the NES homebrew scene also. He's part of a company called Retrotainment Games, and they've made some incredible NES homebrews, Haunted Halloween 85, Haunted Halloween 86. They were always sort of, they had their eyes set on what can we do to bring this to the next level. So they partnered with a couple people to sort of come up with 8-Bit Legit as a publishing company for modern consoles. And they started taking some of these, you know, the best NES homebrews that have come out and actually have ported them over to modern consoles. And Tim was also a really big fan of Any Escape, so he approached me and asked if it was something that I'd be interested in. And of course, I mean, I never even considered this to be a possibility in my life, because, you know, I've just been had my sights set on the NES. So that talk happened a few years ago, and they've been kind of working on it ever since. They have a lot of projects going on at the same time, so it definitely wasn't a quick process. But the fact that it actually happened, and I have a game, I don't know, on a current day Nintendo console, as, you know, a Nintendo lover, an NES lover, it truly is a dream come true. And it's really hard to wrap my brain around, you know, the fact that it actually happened.
That's one of my favorite things to hear from devs is just, I have a game out on on a Nintendo system. So many people grow up, like, I'm a Nintendo kid. I grew up with the NES, Super Nintendo. I even, you know, both games on the N64 when it launched. I loved Nintendo, and it's so cool to see when I have friends who put games out. Like, I have a buddy, Dale North, who does music for a lot of games. He's like, that's on Nintendo. That's on Xbox. Like, my friends are doing this, and it's so cool to see it release on platforms from a company that you've played your entire life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, throughout my development career, the past 13, 14 years, all of my close friends, you know, that they're current gen gamers. So they're always like, why don't you release something on a current generation system? And I'm like, well, you know, this is all I really know how to do. So it's so refreshing to be able to turn to them now and say, hey, I actually have a game out now. You better go buy it.
The game's been out for about a week now. What's the reception been so far? What are people saying about it?
I am honestly blown away by how well it's been reviewed. Anytime you release a game into the world, it's a nerve-wracking experience because you literally have no idea how it's going to be received and interpreted. Plus, being a really, really hard puzzle game, I know that we sort of had the odds stacked against us for being easily accessible. But all the reviews that have come out so far have been really, really overly positive, which has been really refreshing and reassuring and comforting, because, you know, I can calm down now. It's okay.
Mission accomplished, right?
Yeah. And we've sold more. Nintendo's really slow to report their numbers. So I have no idea how it's doing on Switch. But the numbers that we've gotten back from Xbox have been far greater than I anticipated. So I'm sort of living the dream right now.
That is very good to hear. We are Xbox fans on SML. We cover everything, but we love Xbox over here, and it's cool to hear that it's doing well on the system for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Aki, what kind of questions do you have? Jacob, do you have anything? Either one of you?
I'm terrible at questions.
Okay. Then I can go. Thank you. So, I mean, when you released the game back in like 2019, did you take any of like the feedback into consideration from that release on Steam into what got ported over into the consoles? Like, did anything change, or is it just pretty much this is what you got? It's straight one-to-one port.
99% of it is the same. The one thing that I did change was on the NES version, the third spoken word, the one that we chose to use originally, was extremely, like, if you thought the current one was hard, this one was far and beyond harder, because it was a homonym and it was plural, and with this, you know, horribly compressed garbled sound, it was just impossible to make out. So I did change the third word for this modern console release. But that's the only thing that's different. Oh, wait, okay. I did change one more thing. I apologize. When the game starts in both Chapter 1 and Chapter 2, when the lights are off, I put a flicker where the light switch is to try to help guide people toward it.
Handy idea.
Super helpful.
Thank you. is there anything that got like left on like the cutting room floor for this game? Like,
oh, or yeah.
Something that like you're gonna save for like another game? Like, is there gonna be a sequel? Like,
yeah, we crammed so many puzzles. I mean, we pushed the NES essentially to its limits, and we crammed so many puzzles in that I literally couldn't even fit a game over screen. When you run out of time, it just goes back to the title screen. So we have a lot of ideas that we want to bring over. We're definitely going to do a sequel. We have a couple other projects lined up to do first, but we definitely want to get to a sequel. And we're going to, I don't want to give anything away, but yeah, we definitely have some ideas of what we want to do.
Now, all right. I mean, I know you just said that I'm not going to give away any ideas or like any details about it, but I still want to ask anyway. So is it still going to be like NES based, or is it going to be like the sequel? So it's going to be like Super Nescape, like
yeah. So Super Nintendo gets, you know, once you start getting into the 16-bit consoles, the architecture gets a little bit more complicated, to where the scope of the game, it's definitely more difficult for a single person to, you know, complete a project on the Super Nintendo. So I think we will stick to the original NES, and hopefully, okay, if we're lucky, we will also be able to release it on current generation systems again.
Gotcha.
I was getting to see if you intended to make the sequel still NES and like based on the NES, but more in line with today's modern limitations, like instead of running out of room, how you could make basically an infinitely larger game.
Yeah, my heart's set on actually putting it on a cartridge, and with, you know, with cartridge memory comes limitations. So yeah. I think there's beauty in limitations because it makes you think creatively. So I don't really look at it as a negative. I look at it as a fun opportunity to figure things out.
Now, how would this be for an opportunity to figure something out? A two cart game. Is that possible?
How would the two cartridges interact?
Like, you hit the midpoint and then whatever you're at, it gives you a password or something to unlock, and you carry over onto cart two with all your progress intact, like swapping discs in Final Fantasy VII. Is that even possible? Technologically, absolutely. Is there a way to do that on the NES?
Yeah, I mean, they were using passwords to, you know, do things even back in the 80s and 90s, so it's definitely possible. But, you know, with that expansion would come higher costs to actually create the game, which would lead to higher costs to sell the game. So it's sort of a risk versus reward versus demand type thing. I don't know. We'll make decisions like that when we get to it, but I don't foresee something that elaborate happening.
I think that would be something unique to stand out with, being like, oh yeah, we're the first ever two cart NES game. What do you mean it's two cart? Buy it and find out. Cart two is just a middle finger. No.
Definitely something to think about.
It would look great in those top loading NESs.
Oh,
you just,
man,
see like a big middle finger coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
So what's next for you? You said you're that 8-Bit Legit is working on getting the game ported to PlayStation. What are you working on?
So I don't know if you guys are familiar with, there's an internet personality who goes by the name Onyx the Fortuitous. His claim to fame is he took like local news segments and sort of edits himself into them as if he's being interviewed. And he's decently famous. He has a following, and he started a Kickstarter to raise money because he wanted to make a horror movie that he's wrote and directed. And it actually did pretty well. He raised over $500,000. And he decided that along with this movie, he actually wants to release a game alongside it. So he hired me to make a platformer Nintendo game, sort of in the vein of Ghosts and Goblins. So we're in the middle of development of that right now. It's going along pretty well. And then after that, we actually also have a cyberpunk adventure game that is actually done. We actually finished it at the end of last year, and that right now we're in talks with some publishers to get that out. But that one we're very excited about. There aren't really any cyberpunk themed games on the NES, so an overhead adventure kind of like Zelda set in a cyberpunk theme where you know have weapons and you can upgrade them through earning money through jobs. It's a super cool game, so we're excited to see how that does. And after that's out and the Onyx the Fortuitous game is out, I want to start working on a dungeon crawler. I have some ideas for that I want to start looking at.
Ooh, and everything designed from the ground up for NES?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really cool. I love people making these retro games because, again, it's what I grew up playing. So, you know, people putting out these PS1 clone games now with like the really rough early 3D graphics, I'm not buying that much. But the pixel graphics, give me some good looking NES and Super Nintendo style games and I'm there. I'm sold.
That's because they look better than crappy 3D modeling.
It's endearing, man. There's something about the style. It doesn't really, I don't know, it doesn't age to me.
So what are you playing these days? When you're not working on stuff, what are you playing?
Well, embarrassingly enough, I am super addicted to Rocket League, believe it or not.
So. I'm so sorry.
I play Rocket League way too much. It just makes me angry. I don't know why I keep playing it.
You know what? It's really calm. Disney Dreamlight Valley. Check it out.
That would be a nice counterbalance.
Game of the year. I'm telling you.
But I just bought a Steam Deck and I'm excited to dig into that. I've only had it for a couple nights now. So I've started setting up some emulation and getting my wish list going for Steam library. So I'm excited.
Steam has so many sales, you're going to be swimming in games before too long.
Yeah, I'm sure my wallet's not going to be happy, but I'm going to be happy, so that's all that matters.
I think one of our viewers, Thimber, was saying in our Discord that Devolver Digital has their game Genital Jousting on sale for 69 cents for their anniversary.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, good stuff. I love anniversary. I have to mention, we're coming up on our 10th anniversary next month. You've been doing this for almost 15 years. Do you have any plans for your anniversary?
Oh, man, I never even stopped to consider that.
Joe, are you asking him out on a date?
Yes.
I mean, where are you located?
So my anniversary will then be our anniversary. No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll re-release something that's been sold out. I don't know. I'll have to start planning. Something to think about.
Have you considered bringing any of your other games to modern console? I'm looking through your library, and I think Aki would like to get her hands on Larry and the Long Look for a Luscious Lover.
Yeah, so that's a port of the original DOS game, Leisure Suit Larry. I ported that over to the NES. So, nice. Coincidentally enough, I can't speak too much about this, but there are some preliminary talks of that maybe seeing the light of day again. So, I can't get into it, but hopefully, fingers crossed, that will be a thing.
That'd be cool. Aki, what are you thinking? Well,
you look I'd play it. I'd play it.
You'd play
just
it.
By the name alone, I'd play it, yeah.
Now it's Leisure Suit Larry.
I don't even have to look at it. Exactly. I've played some of the originals, and I've played the new ones that came out. So, yeah, why not play the original one? It works.
Did you play the ones that came out within the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Oh, man, those were so good. I enjoyed them.
Yeah, they were pretty good. I was kind of shocked.
The last one I really remember playing was the one on the original Xbox, and that was just awful. Oh,
that one's bad.
My buddy was so excited because he beat it on the hardest mode and unlocked full nudity in the game. Like, I didn't even know they could show that stuff back then. He's like, look, man, look, they're showing it. Like, how old are you?
Now I kind of want to play it.
Unfortunately, it is not backward compatible on the Xbox.
But is it on Steam?
Might be.
I think it is. I have
what the heck was even the name of that game? I'm trying to remember. But
Larry?
Well, the one on the original Xbox. Like, I remember Box Office Bust being on 360, but I don't.
Magna Cum Laude.
That's right. Oh my God. Holy shit.
What was it?
Magna cum laude.
Ah, yes, that is it.
He's in college.
Yeah.
That was the first one I ever heard of, and I heard about that when I was in like high school.
I still have a copy of the Guy game.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah. I found it at a yard sale, and I was just like, oh, how much for this? Not that I care. It was like $2. And I'm like, oh, you drive a hard bargain, sir.
Yeah, that's one that has the underage girl in it, right?
Supposedly. I don't know. I've literally never fired up the game, so I don't know. I own it as curiosity.
That's why I owned BMX XXX back in the day.
No, honestly, it's a curiosity for me. It's like that 1 year of Playboy that I have on microfilm. Like,
what year?
It's like 74 or something like that. Oh my God. So back when I was working at a library, one of our students, like they had to look up some science thing, and like it was, I don't even remember what the hell journal it was, but like they were looking up something, and they went to go to the microfilm, got it, put it into the machine, started running it, and then they came over to the reference desk, were like, this isn't the journal of like whatever, like respiratory studies or something like that. And they're like, well, what is it? And they're like, it's Playboy. And like, it's so they had it sitting down. Bush. Yeah. And so they ended up having to contact the manufacturer, and they're like, oh, wow. Like, that's a weird mistake. And, like, how long did anybody not notice this? 30 odd years, apparently. So
amazing.
But yeah, like, so it sat down in the tech area for like the longest time. And finally I was just like, so we're just going to throw this out, right? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, cool. Can I have it? So I now own an entire year of Playboy on microfilm.
Holy cow.
I actually have to go to a library to like look at boobs on it. Like, so it's kind of weird.
Like the early days of the internet. I couldn't get dial up. I had to go somewhere for boobs, right?
I would just assume you look down your shirt.
Adam. We've been chatting for a while. Is there anything else?
Fall into the abyss.
Oh God, we just got raided. Dopey, thank you so much for the raid. For all the people who are just joining us right now, we are chatting with Kevin Hanley of Con Games. Kevin, for the people who just joined us via raid, one more time, tell us about this game.
Yes, so I have recently released a game called Any Escape or Nescape on the Xbox and Switch. For just $5, you can experience the thrill of an escape room in the comfort of your own home. So it's a puzzle game originally developed for the NES that has just had a modern console release on Switch and Xbox.
And you just got a whole bunch of Xbox viewers from Dopey joining us, and we're all big Xboxers. How would you sell the game to them? What makes the game stand out on Xbox? Why should people drop their $5 on your game?
Is it cheesy to say an easy 1,000 gamer score? You don't even have to beat the game.
You may have made a few sales with that line right there.
Yeah. It's, if you like puzzle games, it's super hard. There is no hand holding. It's NES hard. But like I said, if you want an easy gamer score, a thousand points, $5.
We're getting calls for a store link, so I'm trying to pull that up real quick. Jacob, say something stupid.
Shit.
I can say something stupid,
Jacob. Aki, say something stupid.
Jacob.
Something else.
Jacob.
No, there's not an update planned for more gamer score. It's a sort of a standalone game. No expansions are planned.
So no future content there. I know some people, they want companies to release the free updates just for more achievements. Can you like add hats to the game? Everybody loves hats, right? Just a hat pack.
Yeah, anything related to features for modern consoles, those are questions for the publisher. That's beyond me.
No, not gonna lie,
I really enjoyed that sigh of like, No, I'm not adding this shit for you fucks. Please, go be achievement horse somewhere else.
I made it an easy 1,000. That's all. Like, what more do you need from me? Did you have input 1,000 on the achievements, or was that all 8-bit legit?
Yeah, that was sort of a group effort. So I had some ideas of what I wanted them to be, but he, you know, 8-Bit Legit has released a few games from the NES on modern consoles now and on Xbox. So they have guidelines for the way they want to do their achievements. So we made some compromises, and in the end, that's what we came up with. But yeah, it was definitely a group joint effort.
Ooh, well, I know we've been chatting about the game for quite a while now. Is there anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
I want to point out how amazing the graphics look, and it was the artist's first game that he ever worked on.
Really?
I actually put a call out to Twitter saying, hey, I want to make this escape room game. Any artists out there want to do this with me? So I had a few people interested, so I took some submissions of art, and this guy, John, out of Detroit, he didn't really know how to do pixel art for Nintendo, so he sent me some art for Microsoft Paint, and it was honestly incredible. So I took him up on it and sort of taught him the NES's restrictions as far as colors and how everything can be used. And what was great about working with him is because he had never worked on a game on the NES before, he didn't really understand that the way he was drawing was going to be super hard to implement. So he didn't really take restrictions into consideration. So he came up with some really unique art that I think it's unlike anything else that's on the NES. So super impressive. So yeah, just wanted to give him a shout out.
This is definitely a good looking NES game. I appreciate that everything in the game is readable. There was never anything where I was like, I can't tell what that is, or like, mm-hmm. what am I looking at? I think the closest to that was I couldn't tell that statue was ice.
Oh, the wax statue.
Oh, it's a wax. All right. Well, that makes more sense. I just knew I had to melt it somehow.
Oh, jeez.
I just knew I had to melt it. So
we should just start discussing every single thing in this game, and you know, so you could just be like, "Oh no, that's actually made out." Oh shit! Right. Okay. That makes sense. So, like, just start taking notes.
I'm going to figure out how to beat this game. No.
Let's have a group play session. Everyone loaded up.
Yes. That would be fun.
Okay.
No, just kidding. Just kidding.
She'll take it seriously. She'll beat the game right now.
I was going to say, that might actually be kind of fun. Just like watch, like see who could beat the game first. I mean, Aki would win at this point, but you know.
Since I think he's probably the only one who has beaten it.
Kevin might win.
Pit the bigger idiots of the show against each other.
Then we'd have to sit here for an hour and figure out who got furthest before they timed out.
Yeah.
Well, Joe got further because he managed to turn his Xbox on.
I will Fair say enough. This game is super How do I fun. Do this? If you have friends over who have never played it, just sort of sit a group of people in a room, hand someone a controller, and just be entertained for an hour because everyone thinks they know what the next step is, so they're all yelling out their ideas at the same time. No one's right, but it's super, super funny.
That's a good idea. Just throw a controller and be like, figure it out.
Absolutely. See,
that wouldn't work for me. Most of the people I know are escape rooms.
Put them to the test.
I'm not the best person of the
we
people
know you're
I know
not the best person.
I'm the best person here.
So, Aki, how many copies of the game are you going to get sold?
Well,
how many friends are you going to guilt trip into buying?
One of the major
game?
People that I knew was going
to
get
all
it,
of you to assume got she has
it,
friends.
Also got it to review. So, I would have had like 3 or 4, but a friend of mine already got it to review, and sadly, she didn't particularly like it that much, which was a shame. Bummer. So, most of us
lame.
Yeah. And I don't even know why.
Oh, I heard that it got pretty good reviews. So,
yeah.
And we'll be talking about it later on in the show when we give it our official review later on tonight. But for now, we do have to dive into news. Did you want to stick around and chat news with us, or did you have to get going?
I'm going to get going, but I definitely am going to tune in later on to hear what you guys think of the game.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
Yeah, so the main place that I post is on Twitter. You can find me at A Ton of Glaciers, which is a reference to an old Veruca Salt song. They're a rock band from the 90s. But yeah, I post there mostly. But I, like you said, I also have a website, congames.com. I don't update it too much, but anytime I release a new game, you know, I'll put the information up there. Yeah, so thanks again for having me on. It was honestly one of the most enjoyable podcast experiences I've had.
I was nervous because I saw as you're as seen in, it's like Washington Post, Wired Magazine, Destructoid, the SML podcast. Like we don't belong in that list of, like, don't put us on there. We don't deserve it.
I've been super fortunate. So this was a blast. So thank you guys so much.
It was a pleasure having you on. Please come back on again when you've got another game to talk about.
Absolutely. And I'd love to.
Hopefully it'll become an Xbox too. So fingers crossed.
Or just come back on. We're desperate.
Yeah, that too. All right, have yourself thanks, a guys. Good night, Kevin.
You too.
Take care.
Later.
That was fun. That was really fun. And yeah, it's a fun game too.
It's amazing what happens when we're all online at the same time.
Almost at the same time.
Shut up. Close enough.
Well, technically, we eventually are there at the same time. We just have to wait for one chuckle fuck to show the hell up.
Well, you know who's not online? Stadia.
Oh, jeez, that's mean.
There's some news for the week. Stadia is officially dead. It is dead and buried. It is offline. It is gone. Google.
How long did that last?
What, like 4 years?
God, it lasted that long?
3 years? I don't know. Shock. And the sad part is it happened during the pandemic when gaming skyrocketed.
Yeah, well, it's fucking Google.
Yeah.
There,
good job, Google. Some other wonderful news in what is sure to be a positive sign for the company. Microsoft is laying off 10,000 employees across gaming divisions, Xbox, Bethesda, and more. Some ex-Halo Infinite developers have gone on to criticize the, quote, incompetent leadership at Microsoft. What are your thoughts on that news?
One, I'm not shocked they took on 40,000 last year, so I'm not particularly shocked that they got rid of 10,000 of them this year, because they have a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, this was like 5% of their workforce. They have like over 200,000 employees.
Yeah. On the other hand, I don't know where the Halo Infinite people have any right to call anyone incompetent.
Well, they're Halo saying, Infinite, they're saying
I played
the leadership
that recently, and they're, well, I must say the Halo Infinite team is kind of incompetent, because I've recently played through more of that, and this recent update where they finally added co-op is fucking broken. So, you know, I don't think they have any room to talk.
Oh, man. Jacob, what are your thoughts?
I mean, it seems to be what's happening right now. I mean, Google's laying off people too. So, I don't know. It's not as big of a surprise. It's really unfortunate. And hopefully everyone can, you know, bounce back pretty well. But, yeah.
I don't understand why they even needed to do this. They could be having studios work on a game and have, like, a game every couple of months.
Which is what they fucking should
years.
Be doing.
Yeah, they could do that for years before the first team would have to make another game.
Well, it all depends on who those employees were, too. Like, there could be a lot of QA testers. There could be a lot of redundancies. They might be consolidating studios, and there's just positions that they don't need multiples of. But
like leadership, they could get rid of a lot of leadership and it'd be okay.
But you can't necessarily say that out of that 10,000 people, there's enough qualified people of different.
That's true.
Backgrounds to make a cohesive team. So who knows? But then again, we just talked to someone who made an NES game themselves. So come on, Microsoft, what the fuck are you doing?
Not NES games.
Want to know what else Microsoft's not doing well with? Games for gold.
Oh, God.
Games with gold for January. Two games. Still only two games. They haven't bumped it up again. Irisfall and Autonauts. Shrug.
Which Autonauts, I reviewed on the show last year. I liked it. It's just, you better have a lot of time to devote to it, and only it.
No.
It's not a good pick up and play, you know, and then set it down for a month and then go right back to where you were. You're going to be lost as fuck.
It's depressing when you compare it to the PlayStation Plus lineup, especially when you look at what the games on PlayStation Plus are, because one of them's a Microsoft game. Fallout 76 is PS Plus for January.
Well, you know, eventually PlayStation had to do good stuff and Microsoft had to do bad stuff. It was just going to happen eventually.
Yeah, but it's been like that for
a while.
How long?
Yeah.
A while.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is part of PS Plus for January.
Nice.
And Axiom Verge 2 is part of PS Plus for January. So
I don't know what that is.
Surprised about that.
Axiom Verge 2 is amazing. That game's fantastic. Both Axiom Verge games are good. So check them out. Yeah, people did hate 76, and then they worked on it for 2 years, and it got good. Allegedly, I haven't played it yet, but apparently it's like there's a lot of single-player stuff, so you could basically treat it like a normal Fallout game. You don't even have to mess with the online stuff or the MMO-style stuff. I don't know.
Oh, that might make it almost, kind of, sort of, still not really worth playing, but a lot better than what it was.
It makes me want to check it out, at least. I've heard so much positive. It's like how they turned around No Man's Sky, and how Sea of Thieves went from kind of like a joke to a really, really popular pirate game. Yeah, they just turned it around, and it got good. Scrub.
For me, the issue is still quite simply that entire game, its story is here, do fucking homework. I don't like that. Those types of games just bother me. That's why I don't like the Dark Souls games. Because it's all, here, piecemeal a story together. Hopefully you find all the pieces so you can figure it out. Oh, and use your imagination for a bunch. That, to me, is lazy writing because they're not doing writing.
I don't know.
And I don't like it.
Anyway, we got more Xbox stuff to talk about. Games that left Game Pass already. these left Make on the 15th. Cry. These left back on the 15th, so you don't have any more time with these. Nobody Saves the World, We Happy Few, Paparazzi, Windjammers 2, The Anacrusis, and Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc Anniversary Edition. All gone. Bye-bye.
Man, Danganronpa going away just hurts. It hurts so bad.
Yeah. And then more games are leaving at the end of this month with Donut Jesus. County leaving, Worms WMD, Telling Lies, and this one hurts, Taiko no Tatsujin.
I don't know what that one is.
Taiko Drum Master.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You want to know what would be good, though? If people had a way to win that game, huh?
Wait, do we? Oh.
SML 10th anniversary.
We don't.
No, you two don't. No.
Fuck you guys.
No, fuck you guys. No, we have viewers we got to take care of. The SML 10th anniversary contest is slated to have three winners, and we will have all three winners getting a copy of the game.
Nice.
Yes, we got enough.
And everyone, if you're like, oh no, Donut County's leaving, just go start it up. You can beat it in like a day or two.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if you're working.
And it's a great game.
You can still do it. Yeah,
Donut County is awesome. Fantastic. So play that one before the end of the month.
Yeah, it'll be easy. Easy to want to go do it. It's fantastic. I love that game. I reviewed it. It was fucking great.
Not all bad news, though, because we got some games joining. It's a slow month, but it's a big month. Today.
It's a big month.
Today, we got Persona 3 Portable and Persona 4 Golden.
Very nice. Lots of people are going to be very happy with that.
God damn right. I am pumped to see those on Game Pass. I will be playing them hopefully soon. But God knows I make plans to play a lot of games these days, and it doesn't happen. Because tomorrow, we're getting another one. Monster Hunter Rise, straight to Game Pass tomorrow. Might even be up by the time you're hearing this now. Who knows? It might be on the store right now. I can't tell because I'm doing a show. But
I know a ton of people who are going to be happy about that.
Oh, yeah. And then at the end of the month, Inculinati. I can't say that fucking game title. Inculinati, like Illuminati.
I've never heard of that one.
But with ink.
I haven't heard of that one.
So yeah, Game Pass. Hopefully next month there's more stuff coming than leaving. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Maybe.
More bad news. Why not more bad news, right? Skull and Bones got delayed again.
That's shocking.
Like, yeah, and Ubisoft canceled like a dozen games or something.
How many times has this fucking thing been delayed?
I think
now
it's six. I think someone mentioned this as its sixth delay.
Jesus, that's just, that's sad.
Yeah.
Do you know what all they canceled? Were any of them?
I think they were all unannounced.
No, of course they weren't any fucking Assassin's Creed games that got canceled.
Well,
who knows? Maybe there were some unannounced Assassin's Creed games that got scrapped. Maybe Assassin's Creed cart is gone.
I'm still pretty sure that Assassin's Creed, what was it? No, Mirage, I think, is the one.
Assassin's Creed J-pop dating sim.
Yeah, the Assassin's Creed one that was set in Japan, I'm pretty sure is going to end up being canceled because I don't think anyone's still choosing to work with the individual in charge of that because of things that they've done.
Hatsune Miku Creed.
But, yeah. I'm hoping more Assassin's Creed.
Last bit of news I have is that Power Wash Simulator is getting some goddamn DLC in the form of Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider is coming to Power Wash Sim, as well as the game launching on Switch and PlayStation. So it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be messy everywhere. You're going to have to hose it down. And I think you get to hose down everything from Tomb Raider except for Laura.
Damn it. That's what I had to clarify that for you. What about Laura?
Mansion, airplane, it looks really fucking hilarious that they're... Didn't Square just sell the Tomb Raider property to license it back to put in this game?
Yep. They are a special breed of stupid, aren't they?
Doing good, Square. Doing good. What news do you two have?
None. I don't look at news.
Jacob, anything on your end?
I mean, like, they released, like, a preview trailer for the Gran Turismo movie that's coming out later this year. I'm not going to lie, like, I thought it looked interesting. At the same time, I thought it also looked like they had previously filmed all the racing sequences, and then they're just going to toss in all the actors. Like,
probably.
I don't know. It felt...
Who are the actors? I mean,
Orlando Bloom and David Harbour.
Aye.
Because that's who they could get.
I'm fine with Orlando Bloom in anything.
Really?
Yeah, I like Orlando Bloom. He's great.
Yeah.
What else? Reviews then? We going to reviews doing this?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because I don't have any Sonic 3 movie watch news.
God damn it.
The Final the point Fantasy of the show, 16 then? Producer suggests that PC players should just buy a PS5.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty funny.
They just basically are being like, yeah, we suck at porting and we don't care to put the effort forward, so just buy a PS5 because we're useless shitheads.
That wasn't their exact quote, but it was. There had to be something lost in translation.
It sounded like
it was accurate, I guess, accurate enough. Now, it is a bummer that they are basically telling fans, suck it, buy a PS5 for this game. No, I won't. I mean, I already have one, but I'm not buying
it. You already have a fucking... No, I'm not going to buy another one.
Well, again. I'm not going to buy the game because I don't appreciate being, as a consumer, I don't appreciate being talked to like that. Fuck you. Buy a PS5. No. Eat my dick. Port the game somewhere else. Put it on Switch. I'll buy it there. Dick. Go ahead. Figure that out technologically, ass.
I mean, if cloud they put version. These games on the Xbox, I would buy them so fast. A
cloud version.
That'd be Final Fantasy VII cloud version.
Yeah.
Nah. Hi, Simon.
And there's new rumors are abound once more for like the 50 billionth time that Scalebound might be reviving, which I am so for because I love dragons.
I was gonna say that's really a dragon that. Game from like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy there's shit, there's been like, rumors of Platinum trying to patch things up with Microsoft back. And do it again.
Back when you lived really in Luzerne. Yeah, I remember you showing me the trailer over at your house, and I'm like, oh, this looks pretty cool. Yeah, well, they just canceled it.
Yeah, I remember when I first heard about it, and then I remember when they finally showed that little bit of demo playthrough. They're like, and you hit the glowing red weak spot. It was fantastic.
I don't know. I hope something comes of it, because I thought it had promise.
Oh, that looks so good. I want it so bad.
Timber saying, I feel like since Babylon Fall is dead, they need a new game. Yeah, Babylon's Fall was not a good experiment on there. That's already gone too, isn't it? Or does it have like a month left?
Yeah, I think that's gone.
I want to say it has like another month before it's gone, but I don't know. I never got it.
It was already gone.
Oh, it's Timber says it's gone.
Yeah, they just need to make Scalebound.
Stadia and Babylon's Fall.
They just need to make Scalebound single-player co-op optional, and it'll do fine.
No, we need more games as a service, obviously.
No, we fucking don't. I hate that
Shit. Did you see the screenshot for the Suicide Squad game with a battle pass and, like, six currencies?
Yes, and now I don't want anything to do with that game.
Like, I was excited for that game. I was more excited because Samoa Joe is in the game, but seeing that has me so turned off. He's a wrestler. He's doing the voice.
Oh, okay. Who's he playing?
The shark dude.
Oh, nice. I approve.
So, yeah. Review. Should we get to these?
Sure.
Jacob, you
the
ready?
The other news I have is TV news.
Yeah, I guess.
Cool. First game to talk about tonight is Breakers Collection, developed and published by Cubite Interactive. Released January 12th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Breakers Collection features both of the original games, Breakers and Breakers Revenge, and brand new content for the cult classic among the fans of fighting games that was first released in 96 for the Neo Geo and arcades, and after released with a sequel in 98 with additional playable characters, balance adjustments, and new gameplay elements. Jacob, what is going on in Breakers Collection?
So, honestly, I had never even heard of this fighting series until you were like, hey, you want to do this? So I was like, okay, cool, let's check it out. And it doesn't really seem to be that... I mean, it's standard for those kind of fighting games at the time.
Yeah, it's a port of
2D
96 sprite fighting game.
Shut up, I'm talking.
Go to hell.
Anyway... You know, so it's going to be 2D sprite-based, like, there's fighters from all over the world, or, like, some weird thing. Like, there's a dude who looks like a mummy, like,
Street Fighter.
Okay. And that's the thing, like, my brain just kept making comparisons to Street Fighter, and I was like, yeah, it's okay, but I also see why this, like, never made a big stateside. So you get the two games, and honestly, I thought the sequel was better than the first one. On the plus side, the sequel actually has a tutorial mode, which I was like, oh, sweet, so I can learn everything. And then the tutorial mode is just, it's a standard, like, you versus a CPU thing. And it's just like, all right, punch a bunch. Like, and just try out moves against this thing. So it's not really a tutorial. It's more of a practice round, which I'm
Important question for you.
Yeah. Are the women hot?
Yeah, I was about to ask if there are any cute girls in it.
Yeah, they're kind of cute, yeah. I mean, it's again, it's standard for the time. Like,
awesome, I approve.
Okay.
Now there's one who kicks high. I guess that would qualify. So I like
her already.
Chun-Li or Cammy?
Wrong game.
Oh, anyway. So it's just like, it's varied, but... nobody really stands out. I played through a bunch of the different characters. Even on the easiest, I was still having some issues getting past and figuring out everybody. But, you know, if you were a fan of retro stuff from that time, it works out pretty well. However, I did find I did end up having a game breaking glitch with one of the characters. The woman, I believe her name's Tia. I would keep getting hit, and then like my character could not move forward. Like, I couldn't move backwards. I could only move up or down. So to jump with her.
That's weird.
And it just, yeah. And it only happened with this character, but it kept happening a couple of times, and it's she was the only one. And like, I even rebooted the game, like redownloaded it, still happened. So I don't know if that was an issue with the original game, or maybe there's something that I'm not understanding with how the gameplay is. Like, maybe there was some sort of like paralysis move or something like that. I don't think so. It seems like it's a glitch, but yeah. And like, there's tons of content like to look through, read up on. There's interviews in the games. So, I mean, it's a pretty nice like little mini anthology collection of like a two game series. You know, if you're into retro fighters, definitely check this out. Just keep in mind, like, there may be some glitches in it. But honestly, like, I thought it was pretty neat for something that I, as far as I know, America didn't get. Like, so I wasn't familiar with it.
Well, if Chris were here, he would know, I'm sure.
The more I look at this, the more of a ripoff of Street Fighter it looks like, honestly. Like, you got a character that's Dalsim, but his legs stretch instead of...
That's the Egyptian mummy guy.
That's how fighting games were back in the mid-90s. Everything aped either Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat and just put their own spin on it.
Yeah.
So, and these are games straight from the mid-late 90s. So... I know they did add rollback netcode, which has a lot of people excited. And I believe it has full crossplay too, if I'm remembering right.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, I know that gets the fighting game fans happy.
Yeah, rollback and crossplay. So people on Xbox and Switch and PlayStation and PC could all play together. And that's cool because that shit needs to happen more.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Let's see the game. It is sitting at a price of $19.99. What are your thoughts?
If you're a retro fighting game fan, then definitely for $20. Otherwise, I'd say wait for a sale.
But, fair.
You know, I thought it was. I'm glad that like us stateside folks got to experience this stuff.
Cool.
So.
All right, next up is Recall, developed by Maiden69, published by Whitethorn Games, released January 17th on Xbox Series X and S, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Recall, you play through the memories of the character you're controlling. Your actions inside these flashbacks have immediate consequences in the present moment, letting you take advantage of the situation in order to progress the story, tackle mind-bending puzzles that rely on altering your memories to shape the future. Aki, what is going on in Recall?
Okay, this is a cute little game where, at very first you start off with a henchman and a boss trying to ask you how the hell you got in there, and you go back and you start thinking of what you did, telling them what you're doing, and every action you do changes the reality of the world. Like, one of the first things you can tell the boss whether there was a blue guard, a green guard, or no guard at the door, and that changes who's inside the building and how you can interact with them. And then the very next one is whether you find a gun or a rock. And if you throw the rock to knock them out, if the character is in the room, they get knocked out immediately. Just really cool. and, you know, that's just the entirety of this game. It does stuff like that. Eventually, you start playing as what seems to be a teenager who's living on his own, and he keeps witnessing murders both in the past and the present, and these entities that allow him, are giving him the powers to do this, are just helping him through this to solve all these different murders for reasons he doesn't comprehend. And, every level, you're trying to stop a criminal from escaping and to figure out the truth of the matter. And by that, I mean figure out the truth by making the truth whatever you want it to be, realistically. I ran into some issues with this game, namely on level 4. On level 4, I broke it. And then I restarted it, and I broke it.
How did...
I don't know. I really don't know, because, like, literally I went to go talk to an NPC and then it threw up an error. I wrote it down and then the game crashed and I sent that to the dev and they replied to me yesterday or the day before finally, and we're like, oh yeah, no, you should just, there's a lot of issues with level 4. You should just restart it. And then somehow I broke it again. So I restarted it, and I went into it, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to break it this time. And then I broke it again. So I haven't gotten past chapter 4 yet. There's either 7 or 8 chapters in the game, so I'm kind of saddened by that, because I was really enjoying it up until I kept breaking it somehow. But yeah, eventually you get to, you know, have different characters that you're doing this through, always still through your main character, but he has other individuals. He'd be like, okay, I'll remember you with this person instead of with me there. I remember you with this person. And now we can solve some puzzles for this person that will open up areas for all the people, and so on and so forth. And yeah, it's really interesting, and it looks really nice, and I really enjoy it. It's a really fun little puzzle game.
Cool. Well, it's sitting at $20. What are your thoughts on it with being on the broken side of things?
I would wait until it's been patched or someone has figured out how to do chapter 4 without breaking it. Because it seems like that's the one that really has all the issues. So I'm hoping it's going to get patched, but I would wait until either it's patched or someone has a functioning walkthrough guide of chapter 4 so you can finish the game.
Right, so it's a hold off on it for now, but we'll update you in the future. And when it's ready and good, it's worth picking up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Cool.
It is really fun. I really liked it.
Cool. Well, hopefully we get an update on that soon. Aki, keep up to date with the devs, and when you know more, let us know.
Okay, will do.
Cool. Next up, Ship Simulator, developed by 100 Games, published by Ultimate Games. Released December 21st on Xbox One and Series X and S for $14.99. Take control over 3 special purpose naval vessels. Complete various missions on dangerous waters of the Baltic Sea. Take part in recovery of objects from the bottom of the sea. Transport heavy cargo to its final destination. Ooh, that sounds grim. And also including rescue and transport missions. Assemble massive naval installations on open waters. Jacob, what is going on in Ships Simulator? Jacob?
Sorry, I left my headset off during Aki's review. So,
proud of you.
Well, you know, it's
what Ship Simulator?
It's either that or else you just hear what me blow ship my simulator nose the whole time.
What ship simulator?
I don't know, Joe. Have you ever wanted to drive a boat before?
No.
I didn't ask you. I asked Joe.
I've driven boats before.
Well, okay.
But that's did fine. You want to?
Well, I didn't have my Game Boy with me, and my stepdad was like, oh, we're going fishing. And I'm like, I don't want to go fishing. And he's like, tough. So what ship
that
simulator?
That sounds about right. That was my childhood, too.
Anyway, so Ship Simulator is, as you might be surprised to find out, a simulator game about ships. And we're not only
no.
we're talking... Not only is it like, you know, just ships, but like we're talking like really, 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 really big ships, like the ones that haul cargo like all over the world and stuff like that, or the ones that like have cranes to build stuff and load cargo and all that other kind of stuff. And then also ones where you have to like use it to dive deep into the ocean to recover stuff.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it sounds fun, but. Also keep in mind, like you're trying to like steer this massive thing that is like however many like hundreds of thousands, if not like, you know, millions of tons of like cargo that you're trying to like push across the water and like, you know, evade pirates or have to deal with pirates. Like all of it sounds really fun on paper, and then you have to do it. No. And like, and so with like the cargo thing, one of the first things that you have to do in the game is that, hey, you can't take this cargo boat that you just bought for like $90 million. You can't just take it out in the ocean. You have to repair it. And I'm like, oh fuck, man, I have to repair this thing. How much is this going to cost? All right, 90 million might be an exaggeration, but it's more than I'm ever going to see in my lifetime. And so it's just like, oh, you can't do this. And I was like, shit, did I buy the wrong one? Like, and then it's like, no, you just have to do repairs. So money, unless you really, 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 really suck at this game, like beyond how much I suck at games, if you like, as long as you don't suck too bad, you're never going to have to worry about money. Like, it's just, that's just what it is. And you have to use your money for repairs, and like, you're going to sit there being like, oh man, like, do I repair it or do I just replace it outright? I mean, like, I've got the money theoretically. Is it going to hurt me? Just replace it. Just replace everything. Like, you know, so you can get your boat out there, like, all nice and new. But then you have to load cargo on it. And then you have to, like, pilot your boat to, or drive your boat to, like, a different dock elsewhere. And then you have to park it. And honestly, parking, like parking a car in video games, is one of the least fun things you're ever going to have to do. And it's really easy to damage your ship. Now, thankfully, I never had to scuttle my ship, but holy God, it was always like never pleasant. But yeah, it's just like there's a lot to do in this game, and it's just the controls are janky and the graphics are not great. I mean, that's, which is standard for a lot of like simulator games, unfortunately.
A lot of sim games like, seem to like I don't want to say Euro jank, but that just seems like the fitting description. They're just kind of janky, and they always seem to be from Europe, and
yeah,
they always just have the same like plasticky looking characters, kind of basic models.
Everybody looks like they're like a brand new or a like late stage Xbox 360 game.
Yeah.
Even though this is on Xbox Series X. Yeah. So it's all that kind of stuff. But, so between that and also like, you know, oh, you have to defend the ship against pirates. It's like, ooh, this is exciting. No, it's, you're aiming a water hose at them and hopefully you're aiming it at the right people. So it's just like, there's plenty to do, but this is not the most fun simulator game that I've ever had.
Yeah, I was going to say, we get a lot of simulator games coming out. This one's sitting at $15. Is it worth the investment, or should people be picking up other simulators?
I mean, for $15, honestly, that's a lot cheaper than I thought it was going to be. If you're an achievement hunter, I will say go ahead and pick it up for $15. Otherwise, I'd say wait for a sale on this one. It's not the worst simulator game that I've ever played, but there's definitely more fun ones out there. And I'm talking about ones that like still take like the simulation part seriously.
Yeah.
Car wash simulator.
No. Actually, I wasn't going to talk about it. I was actually more along the lines of construction simulator. Because Power Wash, that's still like a little tongue in cheek with it, like with what it does. So
Power Wash Sim is like in a whole different league compared to these other simulators.
It's like an arcade simulator. Or wait, no, that's actually Arcade Paradise.
Yeah. Anyway, weird. Next game. Salamander County Public Television, developed by Tin Zone Games, published by Penguin Pop Games, released January 12th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $7.99. Congrats on becoming the newest hire of Salamander County's public TV station. Unfortunately, everyone in the county suddenly disappeared except for you, your boss, and another employee. But the show must go on. So with your new job title of professional thing doer, it's up to you to do all of the activities that need to be filmed for the TV station. You should probably try and figure out why everyone disappeared in the first place, too. Jacob, what's going on in Salamander County Public Television?
So you just got hired on at SCP. You know, Salamander County Public Television, which also, if you'll cleverly note, SCP, you know, like the whole secure, contain, protect, you know, thing online. I don't know if you're familiar with that kind of stuff.
Nope.
Backrooms kind of
stuff. All right. Whatever. I love that.
Whatever. It's backrooms, like copy pasta kind of stuff. But anyway, so you get hired on at this television station and, they're like, all right, well, we need you to do stuff for our latest, you know, this show that we have to throw together. So you have to use this, like, for example, like one of the shows is you have to use a banana to see how far you can fling a tennis ball. And the banana's on the ground, and you essentially just like have to like slap the banana when the tennis ball falls at the right time to see if like how far of a distance you can make it go. It's really weird, bizarre mini games that usually don't play great, but you know, it's one of those, it's meant to not go well. But honestly, like the lore with inside the game is far more entertaining. And of course, that's actually the point of it, because eventually you realize like just how dumb your boss is. But your boss ends up like, it turns out that your boss lives over in another county. So, of course, they weren't affected by whatever the event was. And so it's up to you, this other person who got hired, who also works in a different county. And you to find out like why the heck nobody is around. And it also involves like getting in touch with like other outside sources. But interestingly enough, your manager never really considers other than, you know, oh, well, we need to talk to our boss. Okay. Well, also we need to contact the company that figures out our ratings, because according to this, are like, we have nobody watching us, which is giving us a 0%. We need to make sure that that's right. Like, yeah, of course it's right. Nobody in the county is around to watch you. So yeah. And so, yeah, so you just have to play through all the mini games, which, by the way, you don't have to do actually well at. You just have to play it once. The game gives you an achievement, and then you can just move on to the next thing, which I thought was kind of nice, because some of the mini games are like purposely crappy. but the thing is, again, as I said, it's more important for you to get to the next area of the story. But yeah, I had fun with it. It was, you know, I thought the mini games, most of them were like fun little diversions. But the story is what kept me going on it. And yeah, I had lots of fun.
Well, it's $8, and that is, that's a pretty cheap price. What are your thoughts?
$8. I'm totally for it. It's a fun like collection of weird mini games and a weird story. So yeah, I'd recommend checking it out.
How's the achievement list? I hear it's fairly on the easy side.
Oh yeah, you can just blow through it.
You want to describe it at all? Like,
oh yeah, you just have to play the mini game and then move to the next day.
And that's then info people should know.
Yeah, I thought I had said that, but anyway.
Good job.
Thanks.
Proud of you. Next game, Under Dungeon, developed by Joy-san or Jossian. Jossian. Oh, man, I'm terrible at this. Published by Red Deer Games. Released January 13th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, and PC for $13.99. The fantasy worlds let you... Next game to talk about. I'm just doing great at this one, aren't I?
Yep.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good.
This fantasy worlds let you fight in a variety of ways. Magical bubbles, a boomerang cannon, or a classical longsword can go a long way in this foreign land. Every one of your weapons can be further upgraded to unlock their hidden potential. Jacob, what is going on in Under Dungeon?
So Under Dungeon plays an awful lot like the Zelda Game Boy games. It's a top-down perspective, and you're given a sword which you can use to poke the other enemies with. And you're just moving through the dungeons. Like, it's pretty much just like, yeah, you're just moving through the dungeons, like killing the monsters, getting the items, getting the treasure, and moving on to the next thing. As you move through and you collect currency, you can upgrade what you have so it can be more powerful, like it can have different attacks. And of course, you know, as you get further along, you get more items. Of course, usually you're just going to stick with the sword for most of it, but some enemies react better to different weapons, or will only react to certain weapons. And so you have to be able to switch your stuff on the fly. And with that, like there were some that would only react to like the bubble wand thing. And I swear to God, I hated trying to aim it. But honestly, like I honestly had fun with this game. Like, it was a nice throwback to those old Game Boy games. And yeah, I just had fun exploring and like seeing all the different like crazy stuff that they could come up with for it. I didn't really have any like issues with it either, though. I mean, like, was it difficult? Yeah. I mean, but it's one of those, like, you just have to keep going back and getting better. Like, you just have to go back and try again with it.
Here's a question. Why is it M-rated?
That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't encountered, like, encountered anything that would make it M-rated so far.
I'm looking at the store page. It says rated M for use of drugs. Is there something like really, really hardcore in this game? Like that, it looks so cute and so adorable, yet it has an M rating.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I haven't run into anything that would appear for an M rating, as far as I could think of.
Is your character a cat?
Yeah.
Maybe there's catnip.
There's hardcore pussy shots in the game.
Oh, God.
Because it's a cat. Get it?
Yeah, yes, we get it.
It's $14. What do you think of it?
For 14, I'm totally on board with it. It's a fun little retro game that I think would please everybody.
Cool. All right, next game. NESCAPE, developed by Con Games, published by 8-Bit Legit, released January 13th on Xbox One and Switch for $4.99. It's you against the clock in an intense race to escape before time runs out. Do you have the mental fortitude to assemble the clues and connect the dots so that you might overcome the challenges and see what lies on the other side of the door? Being able to track your success by seeing the room change over time adds a unique experience to escape room games. Will you escape in NESCAPE? Aki, we just chatted about this for like 40 minutes earlier, so we don't need to really discuss what the game is, but how is the game? What did you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. As I said during the interview, there were some issues with it, but they weren't so major that I felt that I detracted too much from the game, because again, there is a walkthrough, so if you have some trouble with a certain part of it, you can always go there if a little bit is too hard for you, or you can't hear the shit that you need to hear to solve a puzzle.
Yeah, I meant to ask what the third word was in the game, because it took Ashley and I like 20 minutes to figure out what the hell they were saying in that third one.
Standalone or something, I think it was.
No, we're not going to say what the word was. We're not giving away the puzzle. People figure it out on their own. I'm just wondering what it was. Because he said he changed it.
I don't know.
The voice clues, how he said he changed the third one.
Yeah, he changed
the word. Were you listening to the interview?
Yeah, he changed the word completely, yes.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the original one was. I meant to ask.
I don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I've heard it, but I don't remember what it is.
No, not the one in the game. The one that wasn't.
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna throw things at you.
I've heard, as I said, I've heard the original one, but I don't remember what it is anymore myself.
Still gonna throw things at you.
Well, that's fine.
What do you think of this compared to Escape Academy?
Honestly, I preferred Escape Academy more. I like the graphics in it more. I like how you can move around and interact with stuff a bit more in that one, because it's a more fleshed out experience.
Well, yeah, it's a
more
2022 lifelike game instead of a 1983 game.
Yeah, again, you asked me my opinion between the two. However, for a Nintendo game, this is really well done. This is very much a product of the time that the system was out. It looks great.
Obviously, the puzzles aren't as complex as in Escape Academy, but did they have you thinking as hard?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Honestly, lots of the puzzles in Escape Academy are a lot easier than some of the puzzles in here. This game had, I think its hardest puzzles in here are harder than the Escape Academy puzzles by magnitudes of orders. Because some of the puzzles in here are outright hard.
Yeah.
And sometimes the clues that you find are just so just almost non-existent, and you have to figure it out with that, and it gets really difficult in this game. So this is a lot harder, but I wish it were easier to
click on things.
Yeah.
It always seemed like I would put my eyeball where I want to click things, and I still got to like circle around a little bit trying to get exactly where that trigger spot is. Hopefully larger click zones come in the sequel along with no voice clues. I didn't mind the music, the piano one, because it was fairly easy to discern what tunes were which, but the NES synthesized voice clips were just, those weren't that great. But the game is $5. What are your thoughts on that?
I had more trouble with the piano one than I did with the voice ones.
I got the piano one like instantly. I figured that one out.
Yeah, all the high notes just sound like the exact same to me. It took me a while to figure that out because I was like, I know it's these high notes and I know it's this note specifically because I could tell the low note, but it took me a while to get that one because I just couldn't figure out which high note was the right one because they all sound the exact same to me. I am tone deaf as shit.
You still did better at the game than me and Jacob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't shock me, though. I play these kinds of games more often than you do.
Well, $5. What's your official verdict?
Oh, hell yes. Go get this. This is a great game. This is a fuck it. Why not? Just go get it. It's fantastic.
Well, buy it ranks above fuck it. Why not?
Well, buy it. And if you don't like it, play it any goddamn way. And if you don't think you want it, fuck it. Why not? There you go.
Yeah, see, because the fuck it, why not is if it's a try it, but it's so cheap that fuck it, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, I think at bare minimum, it's a fuck it, why not? But if you like these types of games, it's definitely go get it.
Cool. So worth the $5. Jacob, any thoughts?
Yeah, no. I also agree that it's worth the $5.
Cool. All right. One final game, Crushborgs, developed and published by Zelon. Released April 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $4.99 and a separate purchase on Windows 10 for $4.99. We missed this one, and our friends at Zelon were nice enough to send us some codes for the SML 10th anniversary giveaway. Run and gun old school single player platformer with NES aesthetics, including an authentic 8-bit chiptune. Jacob, what is going on in Crushborgs?
Do you like Contra? Like the old Contra?
Yes.
All right. Do you like the idea of just having infinite continues?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, then, I guess you're going to like Crushborgs. Because it is impossible to lose at this game. Because even if you die, it just plops you right back where you were, and you just keep going until you get to the end of the stage. That's it. Oh, sorry. End of that stage. And then it starts up the next level. And then you just keep going and going and going for like 8 or 10 stages. That's it. That's the game. It's not great. It's not good. But, you know.
Like, in what way is it not good? Like, are the controls bad? Visually, it looks like a competent 8-bit.
It's visually bland. Even the original Contra looked better than this.
I didn't say it looked amazing. I said it looked like a competent 2D.
All right, yeah. I mean, yeah. Like
it's fine to me.
It's competent as in, like, I did not encounter any glitches in it, and theoretically, it controls out to the way it's supposed to be. I mean, it's a Xenolon game. We all know why we're here. Like,
what, the achievements?
Yes. Like, because once you, like, get all the achievements, I guarantee you're never going to fire this up again unless they, you know, have, like, another title pack where you get an extra 1,000. As I said, it plays fine. There's two different, like, characters you can run across as, but it's just, like, there's going to be very little frustration because, again, you have infinite continues, and you just keep blasting your way to one side of the screen. Like, that's really all you do.
Well, it's $5. What are your thoughts?
If you're an achievement whore, fuck it. Why not? And maybe if you're a Contra fan, fuck it. Why not? But this is not a holy grail of budget gaming.
No.
It's fine. Because I know, like, it just sounds like, oh, this game's shit. But it's not shit. It's just not exciting.
It's just like, a $5 game. Like,
yeah, it's just a $5 game that you don't have to think about, that you don't really have to do much with. Like, the biggest puzzle is going to be figuring out where, like, all the little boxes are that you have to blow up so you can get to so you can now access, like, the exit to the level. That's literally going to be your biggest thing, and it's going to take you like 2 minutes to figure it out tops, and that's just if you weren't paying attention.
I bet my mom would love this game because she loved the original Contra, and like that's all she wants is just more Contra.
All right, I mean, then yeah, definitely I will recommend this to your mother.
There you go, Zedalon. Use that as a box quote. That is it for this episode. Made it through another
recommended
one.
Recommended for Joe's mom.
Recommended for your mom. But my mom? Yeah, your mom.
Specifically, not Jacob's mom, though. She hates this kind of game.
Yeah. Music. We are going to play Escape from Metroid Metal. Because
that seems fitting.
We talked about the game Nescape. We're going to play Escape.
Oh, wait. Was the previous show, was that like where you covered all the shit from MAGFest? Is that why we didn't talk about anything MAGFest related?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Were either of you at MAGFest?
No.
Obviously not.
On the other show, were two of them at MAGFest?
Maybe. Oh. I don't know. I wasn't there for that show.
Tim and Purnell.
Good for them.
We were at MAGFest, so we talked about MAGFest when they were around.
Okay, cool.
Well, that makes sense.
Jacob, why? Do you have a question about MAGFest?
I mean, I was just like, it just dawned on me that we had to talk about it, but, you know, also, like, one of my friends from the Mega Man Matrix M board, it turns out that she was playing in the, orchestra that they had some sort of orchestral thing outside at one point, and she was playing in that, and I was like, ah, shit, if only I had known. Which, of course, it wouldn't have fucking mattered because A, I don't have the money to go to MAGFest, B, I got sick before you guys even left anyway, so like it just would have been miserable. Yeah,
Metroid Metal. Anyone have any final thoughts to end the show? No, we got to give a quick thank you to Kevin for coming on, chatting about an escape with us, any escape. Go check out the game. You heard our review. It's a pretty solid escape puzzle game, and it's only $5. So go give them your money. Go buy it on Switch. Go buy it on Xbox or wait for PlayStation. Buy it there because it's coming eventually. Just go check the game out.
I like that you were like, hey, anybody have any final thoughts? You know what? Fuck your final thoughts. Go buy an escape. Like,
I went back to ask if you had final thoughts.
Yeah, you circled around to pretend you care.
Well, then fuck you, Aki. Yeah, do you have final thoughts?
Fuck Jacob. He's fucking annoying. There we go.
I've got final thoughts. Fuck Aki. She's probably right.
I approve.
I'm keeping the snort.